The title of my presentation is Delivery of Breast Cancer Screening, looking at the perspective of the physician, the primary care physician, for this presentation and not at the perspective of the patient, you know, just to be clear. My name is Amal Khoury. I am an associate professor at the ETSU College of Public Health in Johnson City, Tennessee. My co-authors are Dr. Lizovich at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and Dr. Yadav, who was my graduate research assistant, and this research was funded by the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. Okay, so as we all know, breast cancer is the most common cancer in women, following skin cancer, of course. As a result, the average woman has a lifetime risk of contracting breast cancer of 1 in 8. Breast cancer is also a major killer. It is the third leading cause of death in women, following heart disease and lung cancer. Okay. Got it. So the good news with regard to breast cancer is that death rates have been decreasing since 1990. This decline in mortality rates has been driven primarily by the increase in screening and early detection, as well as by the development of more effective treatments. Treatments, as we know, are much more effective when the cancer is detected early. So for localized disease, almost all women, close to 100%, survive their fifth year diagnosis anniversary. The United States Preventive Services Task Force revised its screening recommendations for breast cancer in 2009. USPSTF now recommends screening mammography every 2 years for women 50 to 74 years of age. Please note that at the time we conducted this study in 2007, the USPSTF recommended a screening mammography beginning at age 40. So we consider physicians as compliant with the screening guideline if they recommended it for women beginning at age 40, because again, that was the recommendation back in 2007. The not so good news with regard to breast cancer is that screening rates, mammography rates, have not increased since 2000. In other words, we have no gains, you know, in screening mammography over the past decade, following a significant increase in the 1990s. We have seen a stabilization of screening rates between 70 to 68% of women reporting a mammogram within the past 2 years over this decade. So it's actually concerning that despite all efforts, we have not been able to increase screening rates in any significant way over the past 10 years. In addition to this, more disturbing actually than this are the differences, the disparities in screening rates among population groups and across geographic areas. So we find that overall, states in the southeastern region of the country in particular have significantly lower screening rates than states in other regions of the country. What are the key drivers of screening rates based on work, you know, that my research team has conducted as well as other studies, national studies? We have found that a physician recommendation for screening is a key driver of whether or not a woman actually receives a screening. So in a recent survey of women 40 plus, that was published last year in Women's Health Issues, we found that women who reported that their doctor encouraged them to get screened were almost 7 times more likely than other women to have received a mammogram within the past 2 years. Health insurance, usual source of care, were also significant predictors of screening rates. So given that a physician recommendation is a primary predictor of screening rates in women, we developed and proposed to the Susan G. Komen Foundation a study to examine patterns in delivery of breast cancer screening among primary care providers, specifically in the Southeast, where screening rates are relatively low. We wanted to identify facilitators and barriers to screening delivery from the provider's perspective and to analyze the impact of physician and practice characteristics on the delivery of screening. We used a very elaborate, comprehensive model based on the theory of planned behavior to predict physician screening decisions in the interest of time. I'm not going to go into the details of this model except to say that we hypothesized that physician screening behaviors were predicted by their attitudes, norms, beliefs, and self-efficacy regarding screening, which in turn were affected by physician and patient characteristics. We also postulated that moderators such as physician training, specialty, demographics, and practice characteristics influenced both the proximal and the distal mediators of screening behaviors. This study was a mixed methods study. We started with a qualitative phase, which included 34 in-depth interviews with providers. And we used the findings from the interviews to inform a physician survey questionnaire. The survey was conducted in 2007 in 4 states in the southeastern region. It was a mail survey with telephone follow-up using computer-assisted telephone interviewing conducted by the Survey Research Center at the University of Florida and using a sampling frame of practicing family physicians that was provided by the American Academy of Family Physicians. We collected data from a total of 489 practicing family physicians. The average age of responding physicians was 51 years. 2 out of 3 physicians were male. 90% were white, non-Hispanic. The average physician had been in medical practice for 23 years. They practiced in different types of settings, and 43% reported that they practiced in a rural location. Again, the physicians were distributed as expected in terms of practice arrangement, 30% in solo practices, I'm sorry, you cannot see that, 10% in two-person partnership practices, and the remaining 60% in group practices, including family practice and multi-specialty groups. We examined mammography practices among those physicians, and we found that overall, the majority of physicians believed that mammography was very important for the early detection of breast cancer and recommended mammography consistent with the guidelines at the time. However, only 2 out of 3 physicians reported referring the majority of their patients, 80 to 100% of their eligible patients, for screening. Only slightly more than 1/3 of physicians had office systems to remind patients or physicians about mammography screening, and only 2/3 of physicians followed up with women who missed their scheduled mammogram. We also asked the physicians to report the major barriers that they faced in referring women to screening mammography. The number one barrier that they reported was that their patients were not coming in for regular annual checkups. This was reported by 3 out of 4 physicians. More than half of the physicians reported that their patients preferred not to be screened regularly or refused the test altogether, and this was a barrier that they faced in providing this service. Almost 50% reported that they were not the primary care provider, although those are family physicians, that their patients were seeing another provider and being referred, hopefully, by the other provider, a classical example of the fragmentation in women's health care. 37% reported patients' lack of insurance and lack of resources as a barrier to referring them to screening. And 1 out of 5 physicians reported that they faced time constraints and competing demands in their practices that stopped them from regularly referring their patients. Okay, we conducted, you know, some regression analysis using the variable screening recommendation as our outcome variable. So in this example, the outcome variable of interest was whether the physician recommended the screening consistent with the guideline at the time, so they met the screening guideline, or they exceeded the guideline, they recommended the screening more frequently than recommended, or to younger women than recommended, or they did not meet the guideline, so they recommended screening less frequently than recommended, or to older women than recommended. So we grouped our physicians into three groups: exceeded guidelines, met guidelines, and unmet guidelines in terms of the recommendation. And just briefly, the major correlates, factors associated with screening recommendation at the multivariate level were age. Younger physicians were more likely to meet the screening recommendation relative to older physicians. Female physicians were more likely to exceed the screening guideline than their male counterparts. Physicians who reported that they saw more uninsured or self-pay patients, so physicians who were taking care of larger proportions of disadvantaged women, were more likely not to meet the guideline. Physicians who believed in the effectiveness of mammography for early detection were 2.5 times more likely to exceed the guideline. And then physicians who reported that they faced time constraints were almost 3 times as likely not to meet the guideline. We also did a logistic regression comparing physicians who referred the majority of patients versus physicians who did not refer the majority of patients. And here the key findings, again, were that physicians who believed in the value of mammography were 3 times more likely to refer the majority of their patients. And a number of barriers, including time constraints, patient preferences, and patient getting mammography from another provider, decreased the odds of referring the majority of patients. We conclude that physician beliefs and attitudes toward mammography were generally positive, and the recommendations fell within the guidelines overall. However, there were major gaps in the actual delivery of screening, again with only 2 out of 3 referring the majority of their patients to mammography on a regular basis. A significant proportion of practices did not have reminder or follow-up systems for screening mammography, and barriers existed at the patient provider and system levels. What does this mean? It means that we need a multi-level approach to increasing mammography, and this approach should include community-based interventions to promote awareness of screening, provider continuing education interventions to influence physician attitudes and practices, implementing office systems such as reminder and follow-up systems to support screening delivery, and policy interventions to improve access to care. And I believe that's it, you know, for this presentation. Thank you for your attention. Again, I'll be happy to entertain your questions later on.